May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I was looking for thoughts on our first reading, on Peter and the conversion of Cornelius, and I came across this on Jonah. Now, Jonah and the whale is a famous Jewish story. To worry about the big fish is to swallow the bait and miss the point. This source said, Jonah is a hard-hearted, narrow-minded, extreme nationalist bigot. I thought, wow, I'm reading this in the preparation for that election yesterday. I'm not talking about politics, but I am starting with Jonah. Hard-hearted, narrow-minded, extreme nationalist bigot. He typifies many people before or since. The author of Jonah, confronting a characteristic of people who returned from exile and began rebuilding the land and its worship. They became narrow and exclusive. They quarrelled with the Samaritans, not allowing them to have a part in the new temple, nor willing to accept their temple on Mount Gerizim. They refused to let foreigners in or let Israelites marry foreigners. They closed the gates, the borders, and their minds to anything they did not consider pure. Inward looking, they nevertheless they sought the honour of God. So the author is trying to counter some of their attitudes. Now you recall the story. Jonah is commissioned by God to go to Nineveh and denounce it. He runs off, opposite way, to a ship to be out of God's reach. Big storm comes. He shows courage in admitting it is his fault. So he's tossed overboard. God sends a big fish to get him back on land again. God tries again. And this time Jonah obeys. He preaches a very short sermon in the great city, and it went something like this. In 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown because you are wicked. They believe. They fast. Even the king. And they repent. Jonah is horrified. It's not what he wanted. God relents and saves the city. Jonah did not want foreigners to be converted. He goes off in an angry huff. The exclusivity of the religion of the Israelites is going to be challenged. But Jonah would rather die. Every religion suffers where a narrow sectarian interest opposes the outreaching of God's powerful love for all his people. Jonah is no hero. I wonder if Jesus knew that story. Most probably. He knew about Samaritans. He talked with the woman at a well in Samaria about where the worship should be in Jerusalem or on Mount Gerizim. And he broke several social and religious barriers just in talking to her. Another time, he told the story of the Good Samaritan. Purity laws prevented the priest and the Levite from assisting the man assaulted and robbed and maybe dead. Unclean, unclean. He commended the Samaritan who had compassion and was generous. We also know that Jesus touched and healed a leper who had to call out, unclean, unclean, when near other clean people. We move now to today's account in the book of Acts. It's given a lot of space there, but our portion summarised it well. Peter has a vision in which a sheet comes down with animals on it, animals considered unclean and therefore forbidden to Jews. A voice says, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And he replies, By no means, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth. See, this is a shocking challenge to Peter. He's shocked. It happens again, and this time the voice replies to him, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." After a third time, Peter really hears the message. He is soon to know that it is not about food, it's about people. It is always about people. Now, we know that Peter was an action man, not likely to reflect on things first. So God gave him an action. And yet, he was listening to God, and he says, "The Spirit told me to go with the three men from Caesarea." And so he went with six of his Christian brethren and told the household of the Gentile, Cornelius, how to be saved. The Holy Spirit fell on them. They believed. What if Peter had refused this shocking challenge? As he reported to the Jerusalem church, he said, "Who was I that I could hinder God?" They couldn't answer that. So they all praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Now, if repentance is to turn around and go God's way, then does it apply here to the Jerusalem elders as well? Turn around and go God's way. It seems to me these changes in attitude involve a letting go. Letting go of long-held fixed attitudes. This issue, of course, does not go away. In the United Kingdom, in the Church of England, in all the long-lasting debates on whether women could be priested back in the 90s, was a voice of exclusiveness, saying that women were not clean enough for the sanctuary. And some warned that if a chasuble, like Connie is wearing on the outside there as our celebrant, if a chasuble had been worn by a woman celebrant, then it should be burnt after. That was true. When I was in Berridale one Anzac Day after the public service at the cenotaph there, we would hold another service in the church before a nice lunch by the CWA. Acceptance had improved so that we and the Roman Church alternated taking this service each year. And once, when it was in our Anglican one, a Catholic woman said to me, "This is the first time I have been here. We used to be forbidden to go into a Protestant church." Old distrust had been let go. Another time, about 10 years ago, when I was a locum in a nearby parish, an Asian family came to the Sunday service one morning. When they had gone, a key layperson said, "We're not ready for Asians." I put out the question, does God wait till we are ready for another challenge? Jonah was not ready. Peter at first was not ready. The Jerusalem elders were not ready. But God brought about a plan to bring inside so-called outsiders. Holy Covenant, which I love, has accepted and is still accepting the challenge of being more inclusive, as Jesus did, as Jesus was. It seems to me it's very hard for those who are struggling with some of the challenges. It is hard for them to let go of older teachings, older fears, older discomfort, older attitudes. We tend to like the church the way it was. If it is to grow, we want more folk who will do it our way, think our way. But it will not be so, and it cannot be so. The Jonas will go off quietly, confused, maybe in a huff, and that is sad. I wish they would stay and still be loved. Our mission is to obey the command of Jesus and to absorb it, as in our gospel today. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another.